Thank you. We sing that a lot, don't we? I like that. That last line, I'll never. No, never. No, never. We're saved. That's why we sing it a lot. Because I'm prone to wander. But he's not prone to forsake. Romans 8. Someone had a trip planned somewhere, vacation this weekend. I said, you're going to miss Romans 8, 28. Look at verses 28 through 31. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This verse 28 is often quoted by many, perhaps as much as John 3:16. But few really, really believe this, that all things work according to God's eternal purpose. So few people really, really believe that. One of you ladies was talking to a man, came into the place where she worked. And she was telling that man, she just was trying in her way to tell the man that she believed in a sovereign God, that all things work according to His purpose. And she said, I believe it's God's, that if I get in my car and go down the road and am in a car wreck, that that was God's will. And that man said, Oh, no. This was a so-called Christian man. A man that supposedly believes God's the Bible. So, no, I don't believe that. And what they do believe is that Satan did that. Don't they? Then he's sovereign. Right? We're praying to the wrong person. Now, it says here, we know. Do you see who this is talking about? This is talking, chapter 1, verse 7, to the saint, beloved of God, led by the Spirit of God, who are in Christ Jesus, who have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. We need to understand who the we and the us is, don't we? We know all of God. John 6:45, our Lord said, they shall all be taught of God. All thy children, Psalm Isaiah 54 is where that's taken from, shall be taught of the Lord. He teaches them all that He's God. Isaiah 43, I'd love to turn there again. It says, you have I chosen that you might know that I am He. We know. We don't just believe it. We know it. He's come and given us an understanding that we might know Him that is true. And we're in Him. In Him that is true. We know all that are in Christ. That's verse 1, isn't it? Isn't that how this chapter started? There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. You believe there was an ark, Noah's ark? You believe that? You know, most people don't believe that. Even so-called Christians believe that's some kind of allegory. They believe the fall of Adam and Eve was an allegory. We know it wasn't. We know it was true. those in that ark, all of Noah's family knew the same things, didn't they? They knew. You know what the first thing they knew was?
God is holy.
When they saw the world perishing around them, and they're not perishing, why? Because we're in this ark. They knew God is holy. He will by no means clear the guilty. God is angry with the wicked every day. They all knew that, didn't they? They knew His chief attribute wasn't love. It's holiness. They all knew that. God is righteous. They knew that. That everybody outside that ark was getting exactly what they deserved. Didn't they? They rejected God. They rejected the truth. They all knew that God will not clear the guilty. That God is the judge. They all knew salvation's of the Lord. They all knew that we're in this ark because He chose us. Didn't they? We're in this ark because He put us in this ark. We're in this ark because He called us. He put us in this ark. And He shut the door or we would have run out a long time ago. They all knew that, didn't they? No exceptions. And we know. They all knew it was only the mercy of God that kept them from perishing. Only the grace of God that kept them from perishing. They all knew there was saved one way. The ark. They all knew that. No exception. And we know. You see? And why do we know? We all know this because He has given us an understanding. That He revealed Himself to us. That's why we know. He didn't leave us in darkness, even as others. That's why we know. All in Christ know this. Because they're all taught of God. And every man that hath heard and learned of the Father comes to Christ. They get in the ark. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. Everyone at the Spirit of God comes to Christ. He's found in Christ. And brethren, if you're found in Christ, there's no condemnation. God loves you. If you see Christ as your all, God loves you. You're in the ark. And God reveals Himself. God reveals His purpose. God reveals His sovereignty to you. I am God. I will by no means clear the guilty. But I have spared you because of Jesus Christ. My purpose was concerning you to bring you to my Son. I ordered all this. I elected you. I chose you and put you in Jesus Christ. I did it all. And what do you say? Thanks be unto God. Right? Nearly everyone in here has heard this story, but I'm going to tell it again. If there's one person that had heard it, you need to hear it. When my father was a young Southern Baptist preacher, so-called, he didn't know God. He preached this typical, God loves you, Jesus died for you. Thought he was saved. My mother thought she was saved. They were in their 20s. They didn't know God. Pastor of a great big so-called Southern Baptist church. Well, in God's purpose, a man was invited to preach there from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. His name was Rolf Barner. Nobody knew too much about him. And the preacher just at a venture chose an evangelist. We're going to have a revival. So where do we find a preacher? And somebody said, there's a fellow named Rolf Barner in Winston-Salem. Well, call him. And, oh my. And they called him. And he came to town in Ashland, Kentucky in 1950. My dad was 24 years old. My mother was 26, 2 years older. All right. They're sitting in a tent in the middle of Central Park with all everybody, every member of every church in Ashland, Kentucky. Barnard stood up and he said, two biggest lies ever been told. He said, neither one of them so. Number one, God loves everybody. He said, that's a lie. God loves His people. Romans 8:29 says, the love of God is in Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, God's a consuming fire. He doesn't love everybody. He said, everybody tells this lie that Jesus died for everybody. He said, it ain't so. Christ said He died for His sheep. He said, there's goats. He didn't die for goats. He died for sheep. And then shortly after, Dad said, you could hear everybody's jaw hit the floor. Because that's what everybody believes in false religion. God loves you, Jesus died for you, and all this stuff happens, and He doesn't want it to happen, but bless, He's so sorry. God's so sorry for you. That ain't God. And you're wasting your time praying to a God like that. And everybody believes a God like that, believing a false God, and that's not salvation. This is eternal life, Christ said, that they might know Thee, the only true God. But if you believe and know that God, Ricky, it's all good. And it's all under God. That ain't fatalism. It's faith. It's belief. It's truth. Satan's not God. Man's not God. Man's not free. God is. Why do people bother with a God? Because it makes them feel good. Makes them feel religion. And they like to be in control of their destiny. I've said this so many times, that the thing that makes people exceedingly mad about the truth is that this belief of the truth takes their destiny out of their hands. People don't want their destiny out of their hands. Well, that's exactly what makes God's people glad. That my destiny's not in my hands. It's in the hands of someone infinitely wiser and better than me. Where am I? Oh, then Barnard came to that church where Dad was pastor. All right, he was preaching from Romans 8:28. And that 24-year-old preacher, he pointed his finger at him and he said, young man, stand up and quote Romans 8:28. And Dad stood up. And he said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And he sat down. And Barnard, they called him old Brother Barnard, didn't they? He was 40 at the time. He was 40, Kelly. 40 years old. And Dad and Mom thought he was old. But he wore these glasses down, the reading glasses like that. He said, you didn't quote all of it. Stand up and quote all of it. And Dad stood up and he said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. And Dad said, when he said purpose, Barnard screamed at the top of his lungs, purpose! Purpose! God does everything on purpose! He said, learn something about the God of purpose, you'll know something about the God of the Bible. That sound like him, Mom? The God of the Bible. Ain't nothing by chance, nothing by happenstance, nothing according to man, according to the devil. It's all according to God who worketh all things according to the counsel of His will, and none can stay His hand and say, you can't do that. I just did it. God will work and who will let it? That's the God of the Bible. Why do all things work together? Because God's working them. That's why. We say things like, we hope it turns out. Well, whatever it is, will turn out. Because God's turning it. This world is turning. Yes, it's round. It's a globe. And it's turning. Exactly on the axis God made it. Exactly the speed God made it. If it goes a fraction of a mile per hour slower or faster, we'll all fall off. If it gets a little closer to the sun, we'll burn up, get a little further, we'll freeze to death. Why? Evolution? God. Only a fool would say there's no God. And everybody's a fool. Born fools. Fools born every day. We're all born fools. Why aren't we foolish? We were at one time foolish, but God gave us understanding. All things. We know all things. And I'm on my third or fourth page of notes there. Let me go back. We know. We know. Garnet Guthrie. Y'all remember, most of you remember Garnet, sweet, dear, kind lady. The Lord taught her the truth in her later years. And like so many, she was in false religion, like the rest of you. But God had chosen her and revealed the truth to her. She renounced all her old past and confessed the Lord in believer's baptism. Now knows the true and living God and the true Christ and who He is and why He came, who He came for, and what He did and where He is now. And the truth. And she loved the truth. Oh, she loved the truth. And she did what I asked all of us to do, is to give me her funeral wishes. And she was in a nursing home at the time. You remember, she was in a nursing home. When you go there, she was just that insane toothless smile. She had dentures, you know, and didn't wear them. And she'd have that big smile. You'd go to cheer her up, and you'd leave cheered. She didn't have a complaint. Did she never complain? Content? God. She believed God. And she loved the truth. Oh, she loved it. She loved truth like Romans 8:28. And she asked me, she said, here's what I want you to do. She wrote it all down. I want you to preach my funeral. And she named the men she wanted to carry her casket. And she said, preach Romans 8:28. And she added these words, just like Sunday morning. In other words, don't do it different. She wanted everybody to hear what she knew and loved. And she also said, 2 o'clock. Make it 2 o'clock. This is before she died. Well, God arranged the time, that's for sure. Just like Sunday morning. Just like many. All things. All right, that dear lady was poor, wasn't she? Hey, Betty, your mama. Poor, didn't have much, did she? Lived in that little trailer for years. Was she happy? Oh, my. Why? She believed God. On the other hand, there's a very wealthy lady here in town that I've talked to about these things. And her husband died. Left her a multimillionaire. And she said when he died, she said this to me. She said this to me. She said, I asked my preacher. See, I told my preacher, read anything, but don't read Romans 8:28. Don't read that. Well, she doesn't believe all things work together. Most don't really believe in God. If they don't believe that God's working all things, they don't believe in God. Right? They believe in faith. They believe in chance. They believe in whatever. In luck. You've heard them say that before, haven't you? They ask them, how did you get through this? Say, a little luck and a lot of prayer. Well, there ain't no such thing as luck. There ain't no such thing as luck. It's all grace. It's all mercy. It's all purpose. Nothing happening by luck or chance or happenstance. They don't believe all things work together after the counsel of His will. They just rather believe that God's a bystander in the affairs of men, like man. That God's like a man. He's just waiting, hoping, wishing that things will turn out all right. Right? That's what they believe. They believe that Satan's getting his way. They believe that man, if only man would cooperate, that God just hopes and wishes and just, they say things like this on their signs in front of their so-called churches. It says this, God believes in you. God has faith in you. What kind of God is that? You want a God like that? That's no God. That's a God who's wishing and wanting and hoping. He's no better than a man. Brother Mike, I need a God who's God. I'm not saying it mad. I'm just with emphasis. I need God who has this world in His hands. That evil is restrained by Him and the rest of it works His purpose. Or else, if that ain't so, I'm heading to the hills. Men, to get your things. Let's get our guns. Let's load our wagons and head to the hills. Why? Terror. Man, I'm afraid. Christ said, don't fear him that kills a body and after that there's nothing he can do. Fear God who said, I kill, I make alive. Fear God who after he kills, casts both body and soul into hell. Christ said, I have the keys of hell and death. Is this the God you believed when you first heard the truth? If it's not, you didn't know the God then. And you need to know God. Is this the Christ you confessed when you first thought you were saved? If it wasn't, you need to get in that pool and confess. I didn't know the Jesus Christ of Scripture. Now I do. Oh, they say God hopes all things will work out. That's what they believe about God. He's hoping all things work out. I'm here to tell you. Kevin, that's why I'm here, to tell you from God's Word. Everything's going to work out because God's working it out. For good. For good. Hear me now. Don't hear me. I didn't say it. Hear him now. For good. Whether it be good, whether it be evil, whether it be life or death. We're going to not going to get to it, but it says all these things. Will anything separate? No, it's going to unite us. Nothing. Why? Because God has ordered it. Ordered all things. And sure, don't you love that? That's called predestination. What do you think about that? Will you say these things? Here's what you need to say. If you're a believer, here's what you say. If God be for us, what? Who? What? Doesn't matter. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. He's done. I wish I'd believe God, don't you? All things, the attributes of God work for our good. His holiness, His justice. You know, the justice that ensures no one will be cleared and the guilty will not be cleared. The justice of God ensures that those who Christ died for must go free. Do you hear me? You listen to me. The justice of God demands that the soul for whom Jesus Christ died must go free. The justice that says the soul that sinneth shall surely die says the soul for whom Christ was made sin shall surely live because the penalty's been paid. Sins have been paid. Not half paid, not partially paid, not you pay part of it. Jesus Christ paid it all. And buddy, you've got to go free. The justice of God says so. His attributes work together for good. His wisdom. He's too wise. Why did Satan tempt thee? Because God purposed it. Why did man fall? Because God purposed it. Why did everything happen the way it did? Because God purposed it. He's too wise. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. Right? He said, I, the Lord, do all these things. Deuteronomy 32:39. I do all things. His wisdom works together. His goodness, He's good. He's too good to do wrong, to do bad. He's too good. The world's not an innocent victim to God's justice. They're rebels against God. When people die and things happen, do you think that all these innocent people die? God's too good. He doesn't punish innocent people. Children that die.
see how good God is? He takes them to glory, all of them, and he relieves, he keeps them from going through a lifetime of sin and misery. Isn't that good?
Let me ask you this. If God loves everybody, and Jesus died for everybody, why didn't he just kill Satan and take everybody to heaven? Sounds simple, doesn't it? Is he God? Why didn't he just kill Satan, be done with him, and take everybody to heaven? Why?
Because he doesn't love everybody.
But buddy, those whom he does love,
he crushed Satan.
And he's going to take them to heaven. He's God. You have no peace, you have no comfort, you have no hope, you have no salvation if you don't believe in this God. It's not doctrine. It's a person. We're talking about a person here. His goodness, his faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. We just sang that. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful. His unchangeableness. He said, I the Lord, I am the Lord, I change not. You see, he's purposed all things. Doesn't need to change. The only reason there's change, evolution says this, the reason there's change is because you need to be, something needs to be better. Well, God's purpose is sure, order and sure, it's perfect. Why would he change it? Why would God change? He doesn't change his mind, he doesn't change his purpose, he doesn't change his promises. Those that he, whatever he promises, to whom he promises, he won't change. Don't you love that? He doesn't change. His love, whoever he loves, they're loved forever. You know, we're fickle and finite and fallible and sinful, aren't we? We love our children, don't we? We love them no matter what, don't we? No matter what. Are we better than God? That's what we're saying. That people that God loves are in hell right now. What kind of love is that? What kind of father is that? Brother Steve, what kind of God, what kind of father is that would let his children perish if they had the power to not let it happen? Huh? That ain't our God, Brother Stephen. His love, his mercy endureth forever. His grace, the works of God, all things work together. His sovereign power, his creation, his providence. You know, the whole world exists for the salvation of God's people. For God's glory and the salvation of God's people. He said this in Isaiah. He said, I gave Ethiopia and Seba for you. He said, I gave Egypt for your ransom. I created Pharaoh, raised him up for this purpose, to let you go. All things. All people, all things, world, the flesh, and the devil, though we think everything's against us, and it is, but if God be for it. Troubles, trials, afflictions, persecution, sickness, sorrow, good, evil, we don't understand. Why does this happen? Why does that happen? You don't need to know. You just need to trust God. Little things happen that disturb us, don't they? We wonder, why did that happen? Well, be assured of this, it had to happen, or it wouldn't have happened. That God purposed it according to His purpose. And we don't see everything that He does. What we do need to see is the big picture. I may use that illustration. Like a tapestry. You've seen a tapestry, haven't you? And we're all like people looking at the backside of a tapestry. If you look at the backside of a woven rug or a tapestry, it looks like a bunch of unrelated, tangled mess, doesn't it? You look at this world outside of Christ and God's purpose, it looks like chaos. It looks like this has happened independently. This has happened independently. Look at this. Why did that happen? Why did that happen? Turn it over. Turn it around. You know what you see? A path. That's what Ephesians 1 says. That in the fullness of time, this is the purpose of God. He's made known under His will, revealed His purpose, that in the fullness of time, He's going to gather together all things in one, even in Christ. And all of God's people be in heaven, be in glory, Bonnie, be in the kingdom of God. Say, would you look?
That's why we're here.
And we'll turn and look at each other, Bonnie, and say, you look just like him. Who did that?
God did.
Worked it all together. Just this morning, you know, I forgot these devices. There are many devices of men. I forgot these devices. John said, where are the recorders? So I said, I'll run home and get it. Well, on the way home, I had 7 minutes. I got behind a fellow who was doing 22 miles per hour. I looked at him. He was doing 22 miles per hour on Scuffling Hill Road. Was I patient, Amy? I wanted to pass him. You know, it just paved it, and there's no lines. So if there's no lines, I could pass. No, I know the law. Why is this happening? All right. Ran it out. Got their devices. Got back in the car. Got behind Laura. I got behind somebody who was doing 12 miles an hour. I'm not kidding you. That's my speedometer. He's just looking here, looking there. He's not going to worship God. Doesn't he know what I've got to do? Why did that happen? So I can use this illustration. All things make me stop, make me think about God. It made me never not get mad at that little old fella in that truck. Does I need patience worse than anything? Let me give you a better illustration than that. Danny Gruber down in Mexico went to the shopping center, the grocery store, and came out and couldn't find her car. Anybody? Couldn't find her car. And she looked everywhere. And Betty's just as sweet and kind and patient and long-suffering as any woman I know. And she said, I was fit to be tied. Couldn't find my car. She looked and looked, and it took her maybe 5 minutes, but it seemed like 5 hours, you know. She finally found it, got in her car, and headed the way she was going to head. And there was a massive car wreck at the exact point that she would have been had she not... couldn't find her car. And she said, she first asked God for forgiveness for not being patient and thanked the Lord that she couldn't find her car. All things. All things. For them that love God, isn't that what we were talking about? Those that love God. Who loves this? Who loves this message? Who loves that God is God? Who loves God's right to be God? Who loves that God is God? Who loves, not doesn't just believe the truth, loves it. Loves that God is God. Loves that Christ is the only mediator, only intercessor, the only salvation, that all the things are in His hand. Loves that. Needs it to be so. Is glad that it's so. Who loves that? Those that God loves. Everybody else hates it. Hates it. Smile. If you love God, this God, God loves you. And His Son, He sent His Son down here and to die for your sins, and they're gone. And the Spirit is leading you and guiding you and directing you. Will not let you go. And when it's time, He's going to come back for you and take you all the way to glory. You have His word on it. Okay. All right, let's sing number 267. 267. All things work out for good. 267. Let's stand as we sing. Divine. He chose for me.